See, well, hi everybody. How's it going? Welcome to the Android Central Podcast. It's episode 124 and change, because we've done this like five times now. So the deal is Renee Ritchie, who normally produces our podcast and does a really good job with the video stuff, is off doing Macworld in San Francisco. And I realized I have no idea how to broadcast from a Mac, and all my Windows box, well, my good Windows box ate itself, and I haven't bothered getting it back into shape. So we're trying to Google Hangout for the first time, which is not the end of the world. Just means audio might not sound quite as good if you're doing the audio thing, and video will be interesting. And I don't have lower thirds, because apparently if I'm trying to, we're broadcasting from the Android Central page, but it doesn't like lower thirds application on that. So what, I don't know. This is all new. This technology stuff scares me, Jerry. Jerry Hildenbrand, everybody.
Hello. I'm just doing what I'm told.
That's probably the right answer. Alex Doby. Everybody knows Alex.
Hey, everyone.
So, this is scary. How have we not tried a Google Hangout before, actually?
We did for when Hangouts first came out, I think, didn't we? Way, way back. I think we got a load of writers on, and we just had a big Hangout podcast type thing. That seemed to go pretty well.
Yeah, I mean, I think we tried it once, and it's just not quite enough control. I don't know. Maybe there is. Maybe we need to just do it. Say screw the stuff we pay a lot of money for.
We'd have like a million people on that podcast, though. So
yeah, that's true. So I don't know. Should we dive into it? We're already a little late. Whatever. So we podcast every Thursday night for you folks listening later, assuming I can extract the audio and, you know, pretend I know how to work a computer. So it's Thursday night. We're doing the podcast. It's a weird place right now. We're kind of in between events and in between shows. I haven't had a new phone to review in forever. It seems like it's been like 3 weeks, but it seems like a long time. So I'm kind of starting to shake a little bit, but it's not that we don't have stuff going on. So let's start with probably the biggest news of the week is that the Nexus 4 is finally back in stock. That said, I bought a couple. I ordered a couple so we can give them away, and they're not shipping for a couple weeks, it looks like. But a lot of people are already getting. Jerry, did you order any more?
Yeah. Got one for the wife.
Oh, good man. Good man. I'm proud of you.
1 to 2 weeks.
Alex, the UK is back up. Australia is up. Germany.
Yeah, we got a lot of different territories coming up with Nexus 4s finally, and especially a lot of countries like France that didn't get a lot of stock first time around. So it's nice to see. I see sort of stock making it out all over the world, which wasn't really the case back in November.
People are still asking us to find out like what went wrong, what took so long. I mean, I have no idea. Other than I think Jerry's right, it was a Google Wallet thing. Was, you know, part of the problem was being able to get the payments processed right, and then the other problem is stock.
Yep.
Yeah, and part of the problem was they just didn't realize how popular it would be. The estimates they gave to LG were below what the demand was, and it's just you know, you can't manufacture phones overnight, and it takes time to get the stock levels back up.
I've said it a million times this month, so I'll say it one more time: Google, you suck at retail. Fix it.
Well, to their credit. Yeah, I got nothing there. They suck at it.
Yeah.
Well, they know they suck at it, and they have told us that they're trying to address it. You know, at least they're honest. We're trying to address it.
No, and Larry Page, said that on the. I think we talked about it last week. Larry said it in the earnings call. I mean, it's not that they're not aware of it, just because they're not saying anything. In fact, the fact that they didn't say anything for so long means they were painfully aware of it. You know, and it sucks, and it's just the way it was, and it's frustrating. I get that. But, you know, at least they're starting to ship out now. Nexus 10s, by the way, or I guess, and I'm keeping track. Yeah.
They're in and out all throughout the day. They were off for like the past 3 or 4 days, and today they're back. But some days they'll be there at noon and gone at 5 and back again at 8.
So do you think they're trickling stock in slowly each day?
No idea,
because it seems like that's more the case with a 10, whereas with the 4 they'll just throw a load of stock out there and just sell them. I don't know. Who knows how these things work?
Yep.
Yeah, and we get people complaining that, oh my god, you don't have to write about every time they go in stock and out of stock, and we don't. I mean, my suggestion for if you want to know when these things are going to be available is go look. Because, frankly, it's not worth our time doing a post every time. It's up, it's down, it's up, it's down. I mean, no, I'm not going to do it. So, I mean, if you want one, go look. That's my suggestion.
Yep. Put it in a bookmark.
Yep. And I look probably, you know, once a day at least. And in fact, it was funny yesterday because I looked. I was like, all right, yeah, I looked in the morning. All right, no Nexus 4 yet. Cause we were figuring it was going to come soon, right? And then like an hour later, it's here. Where the hell are you? Well, I just looked. It wasn't there. What do you want me to say? I tell you what else we're waiting on still is that charging orb. Was that damn wireless charging orb ever actually announced? Does anybody remember?
You know, the only mention I remember of it was when...
In the Verge
Duarte video, and right? Josh, yeah, when they were hanging out in, you know, Matthias's office.
Yeah, and just, I mean, it's bizarre, but so there's some website that has one up for pre-order, I guess, and somebody today said, oh, it's in stock.
But you know, some like, you know, some websites have the Galaxy S4 for pre-order, so
right.
Be careful of that.
Well, I mean, so this one site has it up for pre-order or whatever, and it finally let you add it to your cart today, but then if you actually click it, it says, oh, wait, no, it's back-ordered. So I'm not sure who I just gave money to. We'll see.
my trick website is working.
It's, you know, I try not to get excited about that stuff until it actually comes. I'm not sure I need one is the other thing. I've got that Energizer charger sitting over here. It works okay. It works well enough.
Yeah, I'm wondering how practical that's going to be because you go through a lot of phones, and I'm sure a lot of phones this year are going to have this Qi charging or Qi, whatever it's called. How useful is that going to is the Nexus one going to be with a non-Nexus phone? Because it seems like if you just get a normal flat charging pad, you put whatever you want on there. With the Nexus one, it's kind of an orb and it's kind of at an angle. So, I mean, I guess that's a question no one knows the answer to yet because no one outside of Google has used it. But
yeah, and we'll find out because, again, part of the problem is the standard's still not quite there. So you have some things that work and some things that don't, right?
Yeah.
It's a big pain. You know, and they're $50, $60, but $60 is what it was.
Yep.
You know, that's not cheap, and that's probably about what we paid for this Energizer one that I have, but at least it does two phones at a time.
Yep.
And again, if you can put it on there, it did the DNA just fine. It does the Nexus 4. There's one version of the 8X, I think, that'll do it, though the AT&T one doesn't have the wireless charging, somebody reminded me. So
all I know is I want them to get cheap enough so I can buy one and yank the electronics out of it. Because I've got this mirror I won at the fair that says AC/DC back in black. I don't want to make it a wireless charging mat.
Actually, I was thinking about that last night because I normally have the phone over here on my desk now. I've tried to keep devices away from my head at my bed because, like, I don't need, you know, people pinging me at 3 a.m, right? And it's
blatter over here. Oh, I'll stop.
Yeah, thanks. But so I have these end tables on the other side of the bed, and it's a glass. It's got a glass top to it, right? I mean, what's to stop from putting like a wireless layer, you know? Yeah, and I don't know exactly what the technology is, but I mean, that's where I would think it'd be really cool to have it built into like a desk.
And I'm sure once the standard gets sorted, you're going to start to see furniture with it built in. That would be really cool.
Let's buy a couple of them and rip them apart. I've got a router. I'll route a hole in my desk and mount the stuff. I don't care.
I'm totally going to send you one to do that. That would be awesome. Can you see us trying to sell those in the store? ShopAndroid.com plug. we'll ship one up there and be like, Joel, hey, we made you something. I mean, anything new on the Nexus front? I guess. All right, so the Sprint Galaxy Nexus, by the way, is finally getting Android 4.2.1. It got 4.2 like 2 weeks ago.
Yep. Good job, Sprint.
Yeah.
Yep.
Verizon? Anybody?
Somebody needs to just smack somebody at Verizon. I get what they're doing, but in this case, they could release the Google part of the update and then work on the rest themselves. It could be done.
Let's be honest. Is Verizon just hung it up? Are they said, you know, threw their hands up and screw it?
Well, the thing is, normally they would for a phone that's that old, wouldn't they? There would be no incentive there if it wasn't Google pushing out updates after a year.
We saw the Thunderbolt today.
Yeah,
If you're gonna update the Thunder Turd, you gotta update the Nexus.
Yeah, that's a strange one.
But I think that goes back to partners. And again, I know nothing here. This is me talking out of my butt. Whereas, you know, Google's one partner, HTC is another. Verizon needs HTC still.
And the Thunderbolt was a much bigger deal for Verizon, wasn't it? It's their first proper LTE phone. The GeneX, they kind of swept under the rug a couple of months after launch.
Which took forever, too, by the way. So I'm not bet. It would not surprise me to not see the Verizon Galaxy Nexus ever be updated ever again.
And that makes me really sad inside. Absolutely.
Well, especially because you did that post that said the Verizon Galaxy Nexus is a real Nexus.
Yep.
I'm just saying.
Hey.
Well, there's the custom ROM route, isn't there? There's always that.
Absolutely.
And that's made easier by the fact it's a Nexus.
And at this point, what, Jerry? What?
Tell your grandma she can load Jelly Bro 9000 on her Nexus.
I don't even know what Jelly Bro 9000.
Yeah, there's a ROM named Jelly Bro, and I just love that name.
Oh my God. Look, and I don't mean to. No, I'm not even going to go there. I'm just going to say the names of like the custom stuff, they're getting ridiculous, guys. They really are. I don't mean to like diminish the work that's being done because it's awesome, but come on, please, just a little bit.
Make a ROM and name it Metallica, just for Phil.
What is it gonna like burn out and go to I don't know. Not good. All right, what else is going on this week? Should we talk HTC because there's more weird?
Well, we had on the Nexus front, we had a bit of a juicy rumor this week from the source that we all love to hate, DigiTimes.
Yes.
Again, this is supply chain stuff. This is stuff that may well be not right. but the rumor is a Nexus 7 replacement, which is no surprise. Again, with Asus, which the Nexus 7 was a big success. It was a big success for Asus as well, so no surprise that they might be on board with this thing. 1080p screen makes sense.
Sure. Yeah.
It would be a cool piece of hardware if that was in the works.
Yeah, I mean, it's not unlike saying that summer follows spring at that point.
True.
Although it at this point, after using the Nexus 10 for a little while, I don't want to see a 1080p screen on my 7-inch Nexus tablet.
Really?
Why not?
Leave it 720. That resolution is fine for looking at video. I mean, we're not complaining about it now, and it's going to be twice as slow.
Well, it depends what they put in, doesn't it? And that's always the argument with any resolution, isn't it?
Yep. I mean, there's a point where enough is enough, and the rest is, I don't know, maybe overkill.
Maybe. You're not quite at that magical 300, 320 sort of PPI level are you yet with a 7-inch tablet? I think 1080 is going to be a nice sweet spot.
It's y'all's fault that they're doing it because they listen to you guys.
More specs.
I'll tell you what is overkill, and maybe this is a bit of a segue, and that's 1080p on a 4.7-inch screen.
Goo goo.
Well, yeah. I mean, a lot of that comes down to how much, you know, how many pixels can they cram in one space, right? And that was the same problem HTC had going back to the 1S. Like, everybody agreed, this is an awesome phone. Why can't we get, you know, something better than QHD on it? And they just couldn't. It physically would not happen at the time. You know, it would not surprise me if coming into this event on September, that is an awesome month, by the way. September, man, that should be a month. September. I'm just going to ruminate on that for a minute. February 19th, HTC is going to have an event. They're doing simultaneous events in New York and London. Alex is going to come to London, and I'm going to... Wait, no. Damn, I messed that up. Alex is going to come to New York. I'm going to go to London. That's how we should have done it. But instead, I'm going to New York, and Alex is going to London. So we'll both be there to cover them. I mean, look, whatever this M7 is, and I'm saying M7 in air quotes, which is so much more fun to do when I have the giant Google Hangout thing in front of me here, M7. I mean, that's a code name, right? If that's the finished name, I'd be really surprised.
It's not going to be a finished name. The only reason it's people are stuck with the M7 name is because we have nothing else on this phone,
right,
branding wise.
I'm willing to bet it's not going to be the only phone.
They should call it the September. The HTC.
Stop it. Oh, stop it. So wrong. No, I mean,
yeah, it's a very HTC thing to do, isn't it? You know, two phones at once. Your 1S, your 1X, your 8S, your 8X. The only thing suggesting that isn't the case maybe is that the leaks have all been focused around this M7. But I mean,
that's my point. I mean, the leaks have all been about this one phone, so they're working on something else. I guarantee you, they're working on something else. And if they didn't plant the M7 leaks, which stranger things have happened.
Maybe.
I mean, look, do not put it past the manufacturers to leak stuff. It happens all the time. You know, especially, oh my God, I didn't even want to mention it, but this Motorola X Phone job listing that hit LinkedIn today. Like, really? This is news? I saw some posts that, like, 10 things you can learn from the Motorola X job listing. And it's just, it's ridiculous. Here's everything anybody knows about the Motorola X Phone. Yeah, that's it. Nobody knows a damn thing. And you're seeing like all this analysis so far. It's like, no, stop. You don't know a thing. I mean, everything we've seen from the M7 so far, and we talked about this last week, is, all right, Sense has been updated significantly. You know, they've probably gone in a different direction. And that's not surprising at this point, especially all the conversations we've had with them within the last year. And if you look at what came out with the 1X Plus and where Sense 4 Plus went, it wasn't a huge departure, right? I mean, it wasn't radical changes. It was like
it was tweaks.
Right. Which gives them time to come up with something new. You know, in the hardware, we've said this before. It's going to be, you know, 1.8x ish hardware like this, right? Mm-hmm. Where, you know, again, I can't say this enough. Where the battery is in the middle, the display is on one side, and the motherboard, the PCB, is on the posterior, and that makes for a different design, and that's exactly what we have seen.
And that's what's in the Droid DNA as well. It's that kind of curve.
Exactly. So, I mean, you're going to see this sort of thing from now on. Now, the question is where they can differentiate. You know, and we've had discussions about whether Android phones will keep these squarish corners that the 8X has, and I like it. I mean, it feels really good. But again, I get that. Like, Windows phones have these, you know, it's square, it's live tiles, it's, you know, squares and rectangles. So I get that. And again, we still don't know with these leaks we've seen where they fall into the prototyping process. If it's early, if it's late, if it's just something laying around. I mean, I have no idea. I don't doubt that they're like real-ish somehow, especially when you start seeing, you know, parts leaking like that. But
yeah. It's difficult to get an idea of the whole when you're just seeing different parts floating around like that. I think the striking thing for me is how similar this is, not the 8X, but the DNA. This is very, very much a Droid DNA or HTC Butterfly class phone. You know, looks a bit more refined. They've got rid of some of the extraneous trim and, you know, that kind of stuff, the Red Verizon branding that's on the DNA. But I think when it comes down to it on the 19th, we're going to be dealing with more or less the same phone, I think, which isn't necessarily a bad thing.
Somebody remind me to charge this 8X and take it with me, will you? So Alex will be in London. I'll be in New York with Andrew Vaca, and we'll cover the hell out of it like we do. So set your alarms. It's going to be fun. I can't wait. It's been, you know, too long since we've had a new... Mm. What was the last big release? I guess the DNA in November. It's been a little while.
Yeah, the Nexus before that.
Yeah, well...
We didn't get our event for
that. There's no event for it, yeah.
Yeah.
Jerry, what are you feeling through all this, Jerry?
Something ain't right. They've already got the Butterfly. They could just release worldwide GSM if they wanted to. They've got the DNA for the US versions. Why have a big event to show off what you already have? This is going to be something completely different. I'm sure of it.
I think that something completely different is going to be software more than hardware.
Maybe.
HTC already has their late 2012, early 2013 design language sorted, and it's the squared, the squared off edges, the rounded corners, all that stuff.
But I think it's going to be exactly what Phil's holding in his hand, except not in blue. And not with that horrible, horrible operating system on it.
What's wrong with the blue? I kind of like the blue a little bit.
Well, the blue isn't, I mean...
At the last HTC Frequencies event that I went to, they showed us a bunch of like color schemes, color palettes that they were trying out, and it was like all very HTC stuff. But looking at them, and we're looking at them all side by side on these posters, it's just like, okay, it's cool, but wow.
I mean, blue could be one of the colors, and I hope they do. I hope they do release 35 colors for everybody.
There's a lime green 8X, isn't there, that I saw in
Vegas?
Oh, yeah. I kind of like that.
HTC's big on, like, the neon colors. I tell you, I need to find, like, an Android lock screen that looks like this, though. Like, because Bing Photos
ever look like that.
I know, but I'm just saying that, like, the images look awesome. Like, they designed those really well.
You just love that phone.
I love it until I love it until I need to worry about actually getting email in a timely fashion.
Yeah.
And like Twitter's not bad to use on it. Facebook is actually, the Facebook app's really attractive compared to anything else. I'm trying to think what else.
Oh, that's the Facebook phone then.
Right. Exactly. Make this the Facebook phone. Navigation, I didn't trust, so I didn't try it. Internet Explorer is just too weird having your address bar down at the bottom.
See, I think that's better because
really,
yeah, reaching up the top of the screen, you got to move your thumb so much further up the screen. Having it down below, it's a much easier place to reach.
Yeah, I mean, it's probably just a matter of me getting used to it.
It's just muscle memory, I guess, isn't it?
Yeah.
Let's see what I have on here. Internet Explorer. They could do whatever they wanted.
It's just WebKit, isn't it?
No, it's it's Internet Explorer.
Okay.
Maybe
it was the old one that was WebKit. I know or Windows 8 or something. I don't know. I know at one point they were using WebKit, I think.
They should have stuck with it.
Yeah. No. I'm not sure. No, I mean, because that's where we got into the whole Google Maps mess a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
And actually, speaking of that, so was it 2 weeks ago or so? Google announced that they were deprecating Exchange Active Sync for... connection to Gmail
for free accounts.
For free, yes, for free.
That
accounts.
Part got overlooked. That they were still going to support every business user.
So yeah, so like Google Apps accounts, which we use for our Android Central email, and not just AC, but all our sites. We have one master Google Apps account, and so we could have still used that. But I mean, Google's already moved on, and I brought this point up at the time to Dan Rubino from WP Central. It's like, well, I mean, is this all Microsoft's, like, is it all Google's fault, or did Microsoft not move over, as soon as they should have? Because Apple's been using CalDAV and CardDAV, which is same sort of, just a different protocol, right? So Apple's using something else, and it works okay. Supposedly it's a battery killer. But, I mean, things have to die from time to time, but I think Google did the right thing and said, all right, we're going to extend it to, July 31st. Microsoft says, all right, we're going to move to CardDAV and CalDAV, and everybody...
Good for both of them. It's what should have been done in the first place. Boys, quit fighting, or Jerry's going to take your toys away.
Yeah, I mean, that's what should happen. But no, my biggest problem, and I keep meaning to write something up, but my leads keep starting out with, I'm the wrong person to review a Windows phone. Which isn't a good thing for me to say. I mean, this is my job. I should be able to look at this thing objectively. But because my job is what it is, and I have to be able to get email as quickly as possible, and not necessarily as beautifully as possible, and we use Gmail for everything, like, it's really tough making that leap. It's not that I can't use this phone. Like, it's kind of a fun weekend phone to just lug around, because it's got a good camera on it, and
nobody can bother you through email.
Yeah, it's slower to be bothered with. I don't have Skype sitting on it. I don't have Google Talk sitting on it. So I don't know. It's interesting. All right, so that's HTC. Do you guys want to talk about the RUU takedown thing? Any? And the only reason I wanted to talk about it is because I think Jerry's got a really good point here. So if you haven't seeing the news. There was another site that was hosting a whole bunch of RUUs, which is the ROM update utility. I mean, this RUUs go back to the Windows Mobile days, right? That's how I knew them. This is how you used to update your Windows phone or your Windows Mobile phone. You'd plug it in, you'd run this executable, and then all these things would appear on the screen, and your phone would update, and it was really cool.
And it worked well. So and
it worked. Yeah, it worked really well. And it's like a full update restore sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
It was always kind of a gray area for people. Well, not so much a gray area. It was always kind of an understood implication that if you host these things, HTC's lawyers are going to come after you at some point. And it's happened a long, you know, for as long as I've been around, you know, ConFlipper back in the Windows Mobile days, right? So there was this new site that I didn't know. I mean, these pop up every 6-12 months or whatever. And the domain was hccruu.com.
I think so, yeah.
And apparently they were using logos and the domain name itself. And the lawyer said, hey, no, you can't do that. And in fact, while you're at it, take everything down because you're hosting stuff you shouldn't be. So yesterday, HTC on their blog came out and said, well, hang on, this isn't about – and RootsWiki had done a post saying, are they coming after custom ROMs next? And they've never really gone after custom ROMs. I mean, I think that's a very gray area.
I don't think anyone would ever go after custom ROMs. I mean, even Motorola back before Google bought them weren't doing that. So
right,
that's shooting yourself in the foot.
Yeah. There's a difference between an RUU and an SBF, which is like full restore. Mm-hmm. And again, these things are not. You don't own these. Just because you can download it doesn't mean you have license to redistribute it.
They have a lot more in them than just the code that goes on your phone.
Right.
They, you know, the routine that actually copies it over and makes sure it's right, that's all proprietary and very closely guarded.
Now, Jerry, I want you to explain why you think what HTC wrote was BS, because I have an answer for that, actually.
Because they have went after people hosting. HTC told me to pull down a Sprint RUU for the Hero. I wasn't using their logo. I wasn't using anything.
Right.
They don't like people to host RUUs, and they have always, since Windows Mobile 6.1, if you get too many of them in one place or you make too much noise about it, you get an email from HTC telling you it's got to go.
Well, and here's the difference, I think, though. And it's a small difference, and maybe I just see it a little differently because of my job and the people I work with. But there are the lawyers, and then there are the people that like actually interact with the public at HTC.
Yeah.
And I think that's the difference. You know, the lawyers are going to do what they're going to do, and it's totally separate from what PR people do, and they have absolutely nothing to do with it. And I think that's probably the difference here.
No, I buy that. I mean, okay.
It's not a great answer, and it's kind of an apologist answer on my part, but I think it's right. I think it's the way it works, and it's not going to make you feel any better if you got the nasty grin from the lawyer.
And I still think next month, if you host RUUs without any of HTC's artwork, the lawyers are still going to come after you.
Yeah, no, I mean, just like they always have. And I'm not I don't necessarily have a problem with that because you're hosting something that's not yours.
I don't, and I am, you know, I'm Mr. All Freedom Unlock. Right. But no, that's HTC's IP.
Right. I think the argument,
don't want you to host it.
The argument for that is HTC has all this unlocking stuff and all this custom ROM stuff through HTC Dev. They let you unlock the phone. They support you putting custom ROMs on it, but there's no way of getting it back to stock officially. Right. They're not hosting all your use themselves, and they're going after people who are hosting them separately. What are you supposed to do?
They pretty much tell you you're responsible and you're screwed if you get screwed.
Yeah.
And that doesn't sit very well, and I can't blame people for not liking that either.
I wonder, I mean, as far as we know, they've always gone after, like, repositories, right? Have they ever done anything about torrents?
No, and I don't think they've gone after, forum links or forum threads, with a bunch of, links on file sharing sites or whatever. So I think there is a threshold there, but still I think there needs to be, you know, if they want to improve what they're already doing, which is pretty good, that the next stage of that is giving people some official way of getting the phone back to stock and getting it all properly loaded up with HTC software if they don't fancy the custom ROMs.
I think what they could do, and this is just wishful thinking, is here is a zip file this is everything that you guys who develop ROMs need to just build stock Android for this phone.
Mm-hmm.
Here is your way back. If you screw it up, contact your friendly neighborhood developer, and he will get you back to stock Android, and your phone works.
Yeah, I mean, it's... I don't think there's... I mean, maybe Sony is the only other manufacturer who's really embraced it as much as HTC has, right? Has anybody else done it that you can think of?
Well, I mean, they all have... Samsung has contributed a lot. You know, when you make a Nexus device, the lower-level stuff that we don't see, the OEMs have a lot of input.
No, but you know. But for normal users, I mean, if I want to go unlock my Sony phone, it's relatively easy to get the token to do that.
Yep.
Same thing with HTC.
Yeah, Samsung. Well, Samsung is just a case of flashing stuff through Odin, isn't it? Most of the time.
Asus, you know, they here's an application, install it and click it, reboot. But you know, then again, they're still, you know, you got no warranty. Don't come to us.
Sure.
You know, and that's the part that bothers people the most. And give them, heck, I don't want if I didn't know what I was doing, I would be very upset if my $800 phone all of a sudden wouldn't turn on anymore and I've got to pay for it for 2 more years.
Right.
Granted, it's my own fault, but I'm not going to think of that. I'm just going to be upset at whoever's name is on the back of it. So they could save face by, you know, doing something there. And I get that they can't give warranty for everybody for everything. I get it. I just don't know the answer.
There's a happy medium, I think, and there's a lot going on behind the scenes, and God,
I'm sure.
Yeah, I have a feeling, you know, people within these companies have to go up against their own lawyers as much as everybody else does, right? It's just not that's what lawyers do. It sucks, but it's, you know, they're there for a reason.
Yep.
What else? Cell phone unlocking thing, I kind of don't even want to talk about that at this point. Everybody had their 2 days of freaking out. Lo and behold, they forgot all about it. Not a huge deal.
Did anybody get arrested? Is anybody in Guantanamo for unlocking their iPhone?
I don't really think so, no.
So, yep.
Do you guys want to talk about the BlackBerry thing at all?
So BlackBerry, yes.
BlackBerry's back, baby!
Yes, there's a lot to talk about there, I think.
All right, well... So we've got the Z10 and the Q10 and BlackBerry 10, and God, CrackBerry traffic this week was ridiculous, by the way.
Hey, they earned it.
Absolutely. It was really cool to see. If you didn't see it, CrackBerry Kevin got his hair cut on stage. His big thing was he wasn't cutting his hair until BlackBerry 10 came out, and I forget how long it's been. It's been a long time. Dude had long hair, and they cut it on stage live. So it was fun to watch. I'm going to be really curious to try it. It's, you know, a lot of gesture-based stuff going on.
Yeah.
You know, you just pull to the right, and your BlackBerry, I need to quit picking up the Windows phone. It's going to freak me out. You pull to the right, and instead of pulling up a widget like you see here on my home screen or my lock screen, it pulls up a BlackBerry Hub, which goes directly to your inbox, and not just the email inbox, but everything that's coming in.
Worst notification system ever.
Yeah. The other big thing they're pushing is it's almost akin to what LG's doing with the quick memo stuff where, you know, you're watching a movie and a notification comes in and then the movie goes like opaque and you can reply to the text message.
Or whatever. That's cool. I mean,
that works, but the BlackBerry one, like the movie goes off to the side and you see this tiny sliver of it and they're like very proud that it doesn't actually quit running, but you just can't see any of it. Not sure that's a good thing.
I'm curious to give it a try. I really want to see their multitasking. They say 8 apps can run in the background. Well, I want to see if I can load Need for Speed Shift style games 8 times and keep them running.
that's not going to happen.
That does not need to be the new spec war of how many apps you can run.
I'm sure it's going to start shutting stuff off as it's needed. I understand how QNX works. And unless BlackBerry has changed a bunch, it's going to shut down as needed. So, a lot of the technical stuff I'm curious about. But I'll be honest with you, I used a BlackBerry for a long, long time.
Mm-hmm.
I like them. The older ones, they're really well-built phones, and what they do really, really well.
Yeah. I mean, the keyboards were always awesome. Yep. And I still remember sitting on the first time I met Dieter and Mickey Papillon and, you know, everybody. Who else was with this? Matt Miller, Renee. The very first time I met all those guys, we were in Orlando for like an editor's meeting for the first round robin I did. I guess it was the second smartphone round robin we ever did. And we're all sitting there in Orlando. I remember sitting on this balcony with Dieter, and we're looking at this BlackBerry. We're like, this thing's awesome for email. Why have we never used one? And like we both had the same thought at the same time. Like, we're email just nuts.
Yep. Every editor for Smartphone Experts should have a BlackBerry.
Yeah.
An old BlackBerry.
I'm not sure which one I'll try. Maybe both. I mean, I'm going to try it just to, you know, get the hang of it, and so I can pick it up on the podcast and wave it around and
I just think that they saw so many people jump to first the iPhone and then Android that they said, oh, we've got to do something to get games and video and movies and consumer stuff on this phone. And they abandoned what's going to work so well. That's what I'm afraid of. I want to be able, if I get a BlackBerry, to know that when you push the send button on the email, when it gets sucked into the tubes, nanoseconds later, my BlackBerry goes off and it's right there.
Right.
And I have all the options I need to respond to you. And it's that all works the same. If that doesn't work the same, I'm going to be very disappointed because they did that better than anybody else.
I don't need BBM.
No,
I don't want BBM.
I uninstalled BBM. I'm, you know, I can chat with women at the grocery store. I'm an old man. I sit in the bench. But, you know, you said it. Email just flies.
Yeah.
We get tons of it. And I'm afraid that they're just not going to be able to handle it like they used to.
It's funny. I'm getting better about triaging Gmail actually on the phone than I am the desktop. Mm-hmm. I went from like inbox 50 to like inbox 5 the other day because nice. I look at it. I think when I see it all on the screen, it's just right there. And it's like, all right, well, I'll deal with that later. But when it's on the phone, I can just like swipe, archive, done. It's actually quicker. It's so much easier. Do I have anything important now? No. Oh my God, 13 emails. What happened? No. It's all these people subscribing to my personal YouTube because of the Hangout. Sorry, people. Nothing good there. What else? A couple cool apps I've been playing with. Cubes versus Spears. God, I still can't say it. Cubes versus Spheres. If you haven't played this yet, it's awesome. Romain Guy, you know, showed it off. Or I guess he tweeted it out that it was really good. And dude's right. It's awesome. It's Cubes versus Spheres. Cubes are coming at you. You throw balls at them. Yep. Some of them explode. Some of them split and go 5 different directions. And it's pretty badass.
Funnest game I've played in a while, to be honest with you. I mean,
99 cents, yeah.
Granny Smith level fun, and that's saying a lot.
Ooh. I'm still playing Battle Friends at Sea as well. Because, damn it, I suck at it. I'm going to get good. Alex, you playing anything?
I've been giving Need for Speed another go. FX Citadel came out this week, which in itself isn't much of a big deal, but from kind of a game development standpoint, to have Epic putting out stuff actually on Android now properly is kind of a big deal. And Epic Citadel still looks really, really good on modern hardware.
It does. It runs, man, on the Nexus 4, it runs incredibly smooth, doesn't it? But they goofed. If you go to their Google Play, you know, listing, because they put a benchmark in the app, the comments are just full of adolescents. My phone benchmark's higher than yours. People have forgotten about the game, which is a pretty damn good game, like Alex was saying.
Well, it's not a game so much as I mean, it's a tech demo, right?
It's a demo, but actually, if you haven't read it, Brian Klug from Anantech, who we had on the podcast, you know, a month or so ago, did a good job explaining why it's kind of a crappy benchmarking tool, and a crappy demo because it's all VSync, and I had to look up VSync, but VSync is basically tailoring what you see at any given time to the refresh rate of the display that you're using so that it looks really good. And that's not to say that's a bad thing, right? That kind of makes sense. But for benchmarking
If your benchmark is based on the frame rate, you're capping it at Unreal Engine 3 is 61 for some reason.
Right.
So you never get above 61.
Yeah, and that's what I was seeing on the Nexus 7, which, you know, my N7's notoriously messed up right now. But yeah, so go read Brian's post on that if you haven't already, because it makes sense.
And when you're done playing with the benchmarks, look at it. Watch it as it goes through and press the little button and let it show you how the graphics and mechanics work.
Yeah.
It's a really cool deal.
And to be fair to Epic, turning VSync off is not a big deal. They could patch that in. That's, you know, not even a line of code. That's a couple of characters of code.
They were probably smart to put VSync in there, because I bet you could play this game on a Desire or an Evo, original Evo, if you wanted to.
Maybe.
You know,
just for normal gameplay, sure, have VSync on, but yeah, benchmark, you want it turned off.
Gotcha.
And finally, Carbon for Android.
Which one?
All right, so yeah, we do have two. It's a really weird and interesting time. The first one, Carbon for Android Backup. Carbon Android. Well, it was just Carbon, right? The Carbon Backup app that Kosh did. Kosh of Clockwork Bod fame. So it's actually a really good app. I need to go buy it. I was using it in beta. So it lets you sync apps and app data across devices. You can sync it to the cloud, you can use desktop sync. I mean, it's got a bunch of really cool, good stuff to it, and I haven't used it since, I think, the second beta. It was pretty big leap from the first beta to the second. It uses the stock ADB backup tool with a little bit of a special sauce thrown in to work around root stuff. And that stuff, I believe Coach has said, is proprietary. I mean, Jerry, what do you think? You're the technical guy, as we've been reminded in like 13 voicemails this week.
It's freaking great, man.
Yeah.
The same grandma that I don't want to tell to install Jelly Bro, I don't want to tell her how to install the SDK and run ADB backup either. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Kush has taken the computer out of the equation. It's now through the cloud, baby. Push the button. And that's delicious, man. That's, go for it. I love it. I want to see somebody else make their version of it. I want to see dueling backup apps. That way they both get better.
Call this one Carbon.
Oh, when we're done tonight, I'm going to make an app for the App Store called Carbon.
Oh, stop it.
It's just a button. You push it and you get boobs. I'll bet mine gets more downloads.
So the other Carbon is the Carbon Twitter app, which we've been talking about briefly. All right, people are really getting bent out of shape about this. And I get that it's been more than a year since, you know, the developer first said, hey, we're making it. And then 4 or 5 months later, it's in alpha testing. You know, Phil's got it, can't really talk about it. And I didn't, really. I think I mentioned that we had it, and that was it. And then, like, in the fall, it's like, all right, it's coming. And then I remember I was in Korea. You guys did another post that said, hey, it's coming like in days. And then it, you know, just radio silence. I knew nothing. And then, so Sunday morning I wake up, and literally this is how it happened. I'll tell the story. Sunday morning I wake up, I have this email from the developer who's in, you know, Dubai, which is what, 12, 13 hours ahead of me. And he says, hey, here you go. Public beta. Public insofar as, you can show it off. So, you know, give it a try, see what you think. And so I did. I showed it off. And apparently it's a bad thing. Apparently people didn't want to see that.
No.
They're mad. People get upset about this. It's ridiculous. These are apps. Like, people are taking this personally. Anyway, I mean, I'll show it to you right now. I still think it's a really good Twitter app. It's missing some of the functionality in this beta version that I think Falcon has. I think some of that's going to be just because Falcon, you know, has been around longer at this point. But oh my God, I still can't say enough about the scrolling. And this scrolling was this good, you know, back last year when I used it. I've never seen apps scroll as well as this.
I like the Star Wars deal when you pull it down.
Yeah, let me see if I can show that. So, and actually, they're very proud of this. So when you pull down to refresh, it tilts like Star Wars. It's very cool. It's still going to be free. So people are like, I'm not going to buy this. It took too long to come out. They teased us too many times. Well, you're not going to pay for it anyway, so whatever. No, I'm really curious to see what people say about it. There are some gestures you have to learn that are a little different. There's no, like, one button to push to go all the way back up to the top. So, you know, you have to do a two-finger pull down to hop back to the top or push up to go to the bottom. And so learning those things I think, you know, are a bit of a paradigm shift from normal Twitter apps. It's not necessarily a bad thing. It's just different.
Yeah, it comes from WebOS. It makes sense that it's going to have useful gestures in it.
Yeah. I still think it's probably the best designed Twitter app I've ever used. And I've got a really interesting idea for the Twitter app roundup soon.
Here's a question. We've had Falcon come out in the past year. We've had Carbon Bee in development, and there are a lot of other great Twitter apps as well. Tweet Lanes, which isn't in development, but it's still really good. What the hell is going on with the official Twitter app?
Not a whole lot.
Yeah.
I think what they're doing is Twitter is trying to push everybody to their mobile web.
They were busy working on Vine.
We can talk about Vine or not. I think Twitter is trying to push everybody to the mobile web for whatever reason.
Well, because they can control that better. Right. Yeah, they can put ads where they want to put ads and, you know, make a little more money that way.
Yeah, no, I mean, it makes sense, but at the same time, the apps are just too good.
Does it make sense, though? Because an app is always going to give you a better experience, and an app is also advertising. It's advertising your service right in someone's home screen.
Yeah, I mean, it makes sense if you're Twitter. Yeah.
I would think that they could rewrite the API and give themselves a little more control over what's inside the content block that shows Twitter. You know, maybe that's more work than I think it is. I've never done anything that sort of scale. But I don't see any reason why they seem like they want to kill off the apps. I mean, Alex hit it on the head. People will use the apps, and then they're using your service.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. It seems strange that there are at least three one-man projects that are doing a better job getting people on Android using Twitter than Twitter itself is.
Oh, well, you know what? I'm not a big Twitter guy, but I did buy Falcon Pro, and I've used the official Twitter client for the times I have to use Twitter. But Falcon Pro it's not just miles ahead. It's hundreds of miles ahead of what Twitter is offering.
It really is. And, I mean, look, everybody gives me a hard time about Carbon, which they really need to stop because you're just wrong. You don't know what the hell you're talking about. But I buy all these other apps while I'm at it. You know, I bought the Falcon client. I think Falcon's really good. The only thing keeping me from using Falcon is that it only does one app or one account at a time. For me, that's a deal breaker. I cannot use it. So I've been using Plume all this time. I used TweakDeck before that. I used Paul O'Brien's cracked one that he, you know, tweaked up. What did I use before that? I used Seismic before that. So, I mean, I've used a lot of Twitter clients. and there are a lot of other ones. I mean, you can't talk about Twitter apps without getting like 13 new ones that I've never heard of before.
Sure.
It's out there.
And there's some real good ones that, you know, have fell by the wayside. Tweetcaster. Mm-hmm. I mean, those used to be at the top spot. And even those are better than the official Twitter app.
Oh, yeah.
Ones that haven't been updated in months. So
if you want to look at it, the official Twitter app hasn't been updated in something like 18 months, at least. It hasn't changed substantially since Ice Cream Sandwich came around, has it?
No. I don't get it.
So here's my thing about Carbon. Try it or don't try it. Don't get mad at me. I didn't make it. I did not put it out. And actually, when you go back and look at it, we did, I think, 6 stories over 13 months. That's not exactly a big number.
Well, my thing is if you don't want to like it, that's fine. But don't try it. Don't steal that API key away from somebody who might like it and keep it.
Yeah, don't take the token. You know, we need to do a post about how to relinquish those tokens. It's such a pain in the ass, though. Mm-hmm. Nobody's. I don't do it. Nobody's going to do it.
Mm. I do it.
Well, good. Then do me a post explaining how to do it, because I don't even know how.
Well, I wait a minute. I'm assuming that if I go to Twitter on the web and release all these things, that releases the token.
I don't know. Let's find
Maybe
out.
I don't do it. We'll have to find out. And if that's the case, I will do a post.
Good. Woohoo! I can't wait for everybody to try it. I think it's really good. I think it looks great. I think it'll be better by the time it comes out, because there's a lot of stuff. I haven't even seen the settings yet, by the way. It's kind of a big thing. So we had a preview of that. If you haven't seen it, go watch it. I think it's pretty good. If I didn't think it was going to come out, I wouldn't have spent my entire Sunday morning ignoring my wife and kids to take a look at this thing. I'm just saying. So, for everybody who thinks I have some sort of stake in this, you know, only the livelihood of my family. anything else? I'm going to do some emails. We're not going to do voicemails tonight because I'm not set up for it. Sorry.
Let's do some emails.
Yeah. Somebody start. Go ahead.
Andrew from Austria writes, having seen the BlackBerry 10 and the Z10, I'm really impressed by how lovely RIM has integrated those, how lovely RIM has integrated those swipe gestures along the entire operating system. Feature I like the most is possibility to power on the phone without having to press a physical hardware button, just by swiping up from the top. Do you notice the Z10 have a special capacitive panel at the bottom of the device to trigger this kind of event?
That's a good question.
Well, they have to.
Yeah.
If swiping from the bezel up gives you a different trigger than swiping from the screen up, the bezel has to have some sort of capacitive insert. I'm more curious. That can't turn your phone on, though. That phone's still on. I don't know exactly how it's happening, but if your phone's off, there's going to be no power there. So when these phones get in more people's hands, we'll know exactly how.
Someone's going to tear them down at some point. Yeah. They're out in the wild now.
Yep. All right. Sean from Madison, Wisconsin writes, I have a question about podcast catchers for Android, otherwise known as podcatchers, by the way. What I'm looking for is an app that would sync the podcast between my Galaxy Note 2 and my Nexus 7. I was looking at Dogcatcher, but wasn't totally sure about it. But if you have a suggestion for this or another one I overlooked, your input would be greatly appreciated. Now, I assume what you mean is syncing where you are in the podcast between
I would think so.
Between apps? I don't know.
Chat room help.
Yeah. If the chat room knows anything, or if you guys listen in later, let us know in the
AntennaPod Stitcher.
Yeah, do they
That's
do it?
Two that they threw out.
I need to check. I'm allowed to say that I'm beta testing the next big version of Pocket Casts. I can't show it to you because it's not done, but it's looking pretty interesting. Although it's missing some stuff that I need to check on that. But I'll check and see if that's in there as well because I know Pocket Casts is another big one. It looks really nice, guys. By the way,
but I only listen to podcasts on my Nexus 7, so I don't know about syncing them back and forth, but they said Stitcher and what's the other one they said? Well, anyway, I've said it, a minute ago.
I'm trying to, I'm looking through the settings now. Not sure if it does it.
AntennaPod, that's what it was.
Yeah. I mean, on the other hand, it's really not that tough to just, move your finger and get back to where you were, but I get what you're saying. That'd be a cool thing to have.
I would want it if I listened on more than one device because I'm very, very lazy.
All right. Okay. Who's next?
I am. Stan. My turn.
Go on.
Stan writes, I'm looking for a new phone and Verizon is my provider. I like the Galaxy S3, but the rumors of an S4 have me wondering if I should wait. What do you suggest? Go to the store. If the S3 does everything you want a phone to do, buy it. If it doesn't do something you want and you have a phone that works good for now, then wait a little bit. But
we're going to play that. Go ahead.
From a hardware point, looking at choice between the S3 and the S4, the S3 is older. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah.
If you're looking at something that's a little bit more recent, that's probably going to be up there in terms of the rest of the leading edge phones you're going to have this year. The Droid DNA is probably a pretty close match, and that's on Verizon right now.
Yeah, hardware-wise,
it's not a Samsung phone, and it's going to be nothing like the S3, but that is an option.
Yep.
We're going to go through this a lot more, especially with HTC stuff.
Well, and
over the next couple of weeks.
There's the Note 2. You should definitely go to the Verizon store and look at everything they have and see if something catches your eye.
There's good stuff out there. There's still a lot. God, it's weird. I'm seeing commercials for the Galaxy S2 on Straight Talk. I guess Walmart's
it's a good advertising. Phone, man.
Just got a grated jelly bean.
Samsung finally updated mine. I can go on the internet again, and I realized just how great a phone it is.
Yeah. Well, they just re-released it in Asia. They different CPU, but effectively the same phone, Galaxy S2 Plus.
But I actually liked my S2 better than the S3 I had for a while.
I just picked up my S3 again and kind of like it again. I'm not using it, but I picked it up. I like it. And, all right, so there's a fair question, I think, and I asked this on Google Plus the other day. Like, no matter how awesome the hardware is that HTC puts out in a couple weeks, and I'm sure it'll be really good, no matter how cool the new software is and the new UI, I'm sure it'll be, you know, good, at least. If it doesn't have Photosphere, I'm going to think long and hard about getting it. And I'm not sure it's going to have Photosphere because it's not open sourced, right?
Yeah.
Parts of it.
Yeah. It depends whether it's part of the GMS, the Google Mobile Services, doesn't it?
Yeah.
If it's part of that, if it's just another Google app, then yeah, fair enough. How exactly you would do that, I'm not sure. We don't even know that whatever HTC is going to announce is going to be on 4.2. It might be 4.1.
And that's what I was just going to say. I'll bet it's not even on 4.2.
Yeah.
It's a little early for that.
Possible.
I don't know.
I'm sure we'll get 4.2 devices that don't have Photosphere. I'm sure not everyone is going to be able to bring it on.
Well, there's definitely a closed component that the manufacturer has to make sure they get right.
The problem is it's gone.
I was going to say that's why the leaked one kind of almost sort of wanted to work on the S3, but wasn't really cool.
Mm.
Because they just don't have the right hardware component.
And you still have to tie it into your own camera app, don't you?
Mm-hmm.
The leaked ones all work, if I understand right, by just bringing the stock Android camera app over, and you just load that up whenever you want to use Photosphere.
Yeah, that would work.
Or have I got that wrong?
I'm not sure. But they could also just build a standalone Photosphere app, and Samsung could do that. You know, I'm sure Google wouldn't have much of a problem, you know, letting them promote Photosphere that way.
I'm sure if any manufacturer said, look, we want to put Photosphere on our phone, here's a load of money, then Google would be fine with that.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, it's like anything else. It's just a matter of getting it done. So we'll see. And that's my question. If it's not there, how much do I want it? How badly do I want it? And
You want it. Yeah. And everybody says, well, what's the big deal? And I used to say, what's the big deal? But it's one of those things that where when you finally learn how to do it, where you think it's good, it's too fun to give up.
It's going to be a shame if we don't get Photosphere on something with a better camera than the Nexus 4. That's going to be a real shame this year.
Photosphere has to go on your camera, Samsung camera.
I need to sort that before MWC. That's going to be what I need to do.
All right, who's next? Was that it? No, we got one more.
Yep, one more.
Wendy writes, all right, guys, it's time to have a real conversation. A few weeks ago, you had a guest on the podcast who said something like, it isn't important to have coverage in the middle of New Mexico. I work for a school district in New Mexico, and I do not have a signal at most of the schools where I work. After the Newtown shooting, I'm beginning to feel that this is more than an annoyance. I have legitimate safety concerns. The most common reason most parents give for every member of a family having a mobile phone is safety. Though I live in an urban setting with good coverage, I work in rural areas. There's no one provider that completely covers our whole school district. I believe that safety is a good reason for more complete coverage, regardless of population density. All right, I feel better now. Thanks for listening. Very good point, and I don't disagree. That was Brian Klug from Anontech, who we were talking about earlier. I think he was probably half joking because he, you know, lives in the middle of the desert.
Well, if I'm remembering correctly, I think it was more along the lines of, if you live in Chicago, and I don't know where he used, why do you care about coverage in New Mexico in the middle of the desert? I don't think he was pish-poshing saying that they don't deserve to have any.
Right. You know, that said, you know, people ask why this little town just get LTE before I did. And is one of the guys in one of the littler towns, I'm happy to say it's because we're small. You know, they're easier to implement, right? It sucks if you're in New York and you don't have, you know, Sprint LTE yet. But
there's regulatory issues there, too.
Right. And a lot of these smaller towns, if it's small enough, sometimes it's just a single tower, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Could be.
It's, yeah.
Well, it's, Phil's got the tower in his backyard. He waters it every day. It's growing.
I do, actually. I've got a pad in the back corner of the backyard that some sort of antenna was attached to it. It's somebody lived next to an airport, so that has something to do with it.
Dude, but you should call Sprint. Tell them you've got a spot.
Rent it out?
Yeah.
Make some money?
Yeah.
All right, I think that's going to do it. Wow, that was fun. That was interesting. I kind of liked the hangout aspect a little bit, actually. I'm not sure I like being the guy to have to change the camera all the time, but I don't know. What do you guys think?
I like
yeah.
it.
It's pretty good.
But, you know, I understand the technical reasons why it's not the best thing, but I like it.
Yeah, we'll see. So, that is our podcast. As Andrew and Sean and Stan and Wendy did, you can email us at podcast@androidcentral.com. You can get us all on Twitter, find our names, whatever. Google Plus is where, you know, much cooler. And by the way, it's up. Has Google Plus ever been down? Twitter went down again today.
Don't think so. People freak out when anything Google is down.
Oh, if Google Plus goes down, can we make like a fail droid?
I don't know what I'd call it. Fail Drew, it's not bad. So just search for our names on there. As we are every week, we are brought to you by shopandroid.com. You can call them at 888-468-6158 or shopandroid.com. And by the way, if you haven't yet, yes, we've got more of the little Lloyd Gear cases for the Galaxy Note 2 and the Galaxy S3. I've heard, now don't tell anybody I told you this, but I've heard we're going to have Nexus 4 ones in like next week sometime.
I keep checking my mailbox.
I know. I was yelling at him today. I'm like, why the hell are these showing up? Oh, it's because we don't have them. Makes sense.
Just you promised me a yellow one, and you used the word promise. And even if you didn't, no, but I'm saying you did.
Oh, okay. So again, that's shopandroid.com, 888-468-6158 if you want to call them. And you can leave us a voicemail. We will get to them as soon as we can. I apologize, we didn't get to them tonight. At that same number, 888-468-6158, extension 222. It's very important. Or you can email one in, record it on your computer, and email it in. Another show note, as if tonight wasn't weird enough, but I'm not sure what we're going to do next week, because I'm on the road, I got meetings. So we'll figure something out. We maybe do something on Friday. I don't know, we'll see how it goes. So heads up on that. So Jerry, Alex, chat room's still out there, by the way. I haven't seen them all night, because I've been paying attention to this hangout thing and changing cameras, but
they're there. Back,
I know. I apologize for when the cameras like hung on me too much.
They're loving the hangout. They can watch it from their Nexus 7s.
I know. We might have to. It might be time to finally take a serious look at that and just deal with it. So we'll see.
You can't edit the hangouts, and you've got me here. That's a dangerous combination.
What could possibly go wrong? Yeah, we gotta do something about the cameras. Your cameras suck.
Ooh, what? He didn't mean it, little camera. It's okay.
To be fair, my camera does suck, so.
Well, actually, mine kind of looks crappy too, live. I don't know, we'll see.
It's the hangout. They compress the hell out.
Yeah, I know. All right, boys and girls, that's it. I think we're done. Good luck. I'm not sure what I do next. Bye.
Later.
Bye.
I'm just pissed my lower thirds aren't working. Cause I mean, I can say whatever I want, nobody cares, but without the lower thirds, you know, I just look totally unprofessional.
Ooh, it's working now.
I know, I see it.
Ah!
You can get, you just print out a bit of card and hold it up.
Yeah, I'm Phil.
Just get name badges. I have business cards, I could stick one of those on my head or something.
Oh my god.